This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, Thursday the 22nd of April, and you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Deborah Etkin, who is the Senior Industry Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on how luxury retail has been performing this year. But in the meantime, let's talk about climate change.
In chairing the first meeting of the Malaysian Climate Change Action Council, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin outlined six approaches that will be implemented by the government to address climate change issues. Now, this includes careful carbon trading activities that won't affect the country's greenhouse gas emissions commitment, the development of Malaysia as a green economy, and the strengthening of the country's climate change governance.
So on top of that, the council will be implementing the Low Carbon Mobility Development Plan 2021 to 2030, which will see a drive towards the use of electric vehicles and low carbon transportation. In addition, the National Low Carbon City Master Plan will also be carried out, and this is supposed to serve as a guidance for local authorities and state governments to implement low carbon cities in the near future. So to discuss these exciting green initiatives with us is Alizan Mahadi, Director, Technology, Innovation, Environment and Sustainability Division at ISIS Malaysia. Thank you for joining us this morning, Alizan. Now, how do you think the government intends to roll out this Green New Deal plan, where the country is supposed to be a hub in the field of green economy, services and technology?
So good morning and happy Earth Day, by the way.
Yes, happy Earth Day to you too.
Okay, so when we speak about this Green New Deal, of course it evokes President Roosevelt's Green Deal in the 1930s, which was a broad-based reform that helped the U.S. recover from the Great Depression. So while the focus was broad, the actions were mainly targeted on large expenditure on public infrastructure projects. So in the case of a Green New Deal, what we would expect is a large expenditure on green infrastructure projects. So this would include, for example, decarbonizing our energy systems through renewable energy, ensuring green mobility, logistics, greening our cities, and so on. So if you look at other countries, and one way to look at it is the staggering amount of budget allocated for the so-called Green New Deals. So for example, in the European Green Deal, the EU allocated about 750 billion euros, which is about a third of the overall green recovery budget. While in the US, the expenditure of $2 trillion on their infrastructure bill or the American Jobs Plan largely focuses on climate action, such as decarbonizing their energy systems. So it will be certainly a massive shift in the context of Malaysia, where previously, for example, in budget 2021, Malaysia allocated just about 0.7%, under 1% of its budget on the environment as a whole. So, you know, Malaysia has a long way to go in terms of really spending huge amounts of expenditure on large infrastructure projects that are related to climate action.
Yeah, exactly, which is actually the next question I was going to ask you, which is related to that. Do we have any indication in terms of how much the government is looking to spend in terms of green projects? Because so far, it's been more talk than action.
Yeah, so far, I have not heard about the budget allocation for green recovery projects, nor for any kind of long-term recovery plans, to be fair. So if we did have a recovery plan, I think the key thing is to see how it is aligned to, you know, climate action, aligned to environmental preservation. But at this moment, we do not know yet, you know, in terms of figures, hard figures, what would that be?
Why do you think the government can't spend the money on green infrastructure? Is it because they have no money, or is it because they are using maybe flawed guiding principles that are perhaps different for green infrastructure, which then comes to the point about governance? Do we look at governance very differently for climate-related initiatives?
I mean, it's hard for me to speculate on the reasons for that, but one perhaps reason, generally speaking, over many years in the past for all governments in the world is that the returns on investment, if you like, for green infrastructure is at least perceived not to be high. However, I think a few recent trends have changed that. Mm. I mean, again, speaking about the large investments made within some of these countries within, you know, of course, they are leading huge economies such as the US and EU, that would perhaps catalyze a green market. And this might be a game changer in that sense. So there might be larger returns in the future. But also, science have also shown us that if we do not do anything, the implications will be higher costs in terms of the impacts of climate change. I mean, we've seen that in Malaysia in terms of the damage caused by floods and so on. So I think that was the main perception, at least in the past, and hopefully this has changed with the recent trends.
Now, in strengthening the country's climate change governance, the ministry said that it will meet the country's commitments under the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. What are these commitments, and honestly, can we fulfill them?
So, okay, under the UNFCCC that you mentioned, there are actually voluntary targets, and these are known as the nationally determined contributions. So Malaysia's target is to achieve 45% reduction in greenhouse gas emission intensity per unit of GDP by 2030 compared with 2005 levels, with 35% unconditional and 10% conditional on the receipt of passive building technology transfer and finance. So essentially 45% reduction of carbon emission intensity. So at the moment, Malaysia is actually on track to achieve this reduction, being about 29% reduction in intensity. These are the figures in 2016, which is the latest. However, the upcoming COP26 that will take place end of this year is calling for stronger ambitions by all countries. And this would mean that Malaysia would need to demonstrate higher ambitions to be on par with some of the actions by other countries. Malaysia has not yet submitted our updated nationally determined contributions, NDCs. So this is an ongoing process. But here, there are many countries calling, for example, for long-term ambitions, such as achieving net zero emissions by 2050 and so on. So it's currently in the process of revisiting this overall target. So the previous target, Malaysia is on track, but in line with other countries, this is expected to be a stronger ambition moving forward.
Can you give us a sense what this higher ambition means, like a goal target? How should we revise our targets then?
It depends really on what we set as the targets. For example, as I mentioned, at the moment, the target is in terms of emission intensity, meaning for every carbon, for every GDP produced, there will be less carbon emitted. So that is our current methodology, if you like. But in the future, I think, first of all, you can see it in two ways. When people are now talking about carbon neutrality or net zero emissions. So there's two ways, really. One is to essentially reduce our emissions through renewable energy, through increasing efficiencies, and so on. But another is also to improve removing those emissions as well. In Malaysia, we are blessed with tropical forests. You know, if we increase tree planting and preserve our forests, there will be higher carbon sinks and removal from the atmosphere. So these are the two major strategies, broadly speaking.
And the Low Carbon Mobility Development Plan for 2021 and 2030 aims for GHG emissions to be reduced by 165 million tonnes of CO2. Now, to do so, how aggressive will our measures have to be in decarbonizing land transportation?
I would say quite aggressive. Again, our latest figures for 2016, the road transportation emits about 55 million tonnes per year. So if we continue to emit about 55 million tonnes per year, you know, that's about, overall within 10 years, it's about 30% reduction, not even taking into account of population growth and increase in demand and so on. So in other words, we have to reduce about 3 full years worth of transportation as a whole. So this will be, once again, a mix of emission reductions from fuel-efficient vehicles, increasing the use of public transport, as well as the strategy of increasing electrical vehicles. But let me just caution that electric vehicles depends on the fuel source. If it's from renewable energy, then it will, of course, reduce emissions. If it is not, then it is still using our electricity grid that is based on coal, for example, then it will not reduce carbon emissions as a whole. So it's quite aggressive targets, but over a 10-year period with concerted effort, it's possible.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Alizan Mahadi, Director, Technology, Innovation, Environment and Sustainability Division at ICIS Malaysia, telling us how or what we should do as a country to actually improve our green policies.
Yeah,
what I think really needs to be done? At the moment, there's a lot of noise, but in terms of a government spend, our fiscal spend is clearly not in that direction compared to what we see in Europe and in America, where there's a real focus, not only just in terms of spending, but I think in terms of grants that are given also.
I think the depth of the policy is missing. There is a lot of intention, and as we always say, the road to hell is paved with it. But I think that's
It's not always an easy target.
So it's really important to implement it and put money where your mouth is.
Yeah, and actually it's the subject of the poll that we were running this morning on BFM. We were asking, what is the biggest challenge towards a greener Malaysia? And there were four options. There was unclear government policy, consumer habits, prohibitive costs, and others. Now, we had close to 250 votes, and 55% actually say it's the unclear government policies. 32% are consumer habits, which is true. Sometimes we ourselves don't make the change when we can. Prohibitive costs is 8%, and others is actually 5%. Now, I think in terms of consumer habits, yes, we could make the change ourselves. A little changes do make the difference, but government policy is still going to be the biggest factor, I think, in terms of driving a greener Malaysia.
Classic example, plastic bags.
Yeah.
Government policy was very clear, drove consumer habits.
Exactly. But up next, we'll be discussing the luxury goods retail industry with Deborah Etkin of Bloomberg Intelligence. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.